This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Caney. There was a time when the main concern of taxpayers was to make sure their tax forms were properly completed, their information was documented, and their returns were in the mail by April 15th. But today, tax filers must also worry about identity theft. According to the Federal Trade Commission, in 2014, tax fraud was the number one consumer complaint and how an identity theft victim's information was misused. And here to share tips on how to protect yourself from becoming a victim of tax fraud and what to do if you suspect you may already be a victim, our Internal Revenue Service spokesperson for Ohio, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia, Jennifer Jenkins, and Bramble and Ackley PSC Certified Public Accountant Stephanie Hune. And you can join us at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Jenny and Stephanie, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for the invite.
Jenny, how big of a problem is this? How often does the IRS see problems related to tax fraud, identity theft, that kind of thing?
Well, I can tell you it is indeed a big problem. It's not something that's brand new. Identity theft certainly is something that we've seen a big surge in fairly recent years. But tax fraud has been probably as long as there have been taxes collected, there's probably been some type of tax fraud going on. And there are quite a few scams that the public needs to be aware of.
Yeah, I think doesn't the IRS have like a list? They call it the dirty dozen that you come up with annually. What's on the dirty dozen?
Well, I can tell you, topping the list this year is identity theft related tax scams. So that's definitely a big one. Also, number two, phone scams. Number three is phishing. That's emails that are sent out to folks trying to get them to provide personal or financial information. Number four is return preparer fraud. That's tax return preparers who are maybe not the most ethical. Most tax return preparers do great work for their clients, but you do have to watch out. There are a few bad apples in the bunch. And so we definitely recommend that folks do a little bit of vetting before they give out that sensitive personal and financial information. Another, offshore tax avoidance. Some of these schemes you've probably heard about. Ways to avoid paying taxes by sending money offshore and various schemes involved with that. Inflated refund claims, that's another one. Fake charities, that's really an unfortunate type of scam because people are trying to, do something good with their money to support a worthy cause and only to give that money over to scammers. Falsely padding deductions on your returns, that's another one. Excessive claims for business credits. Falsifying income to claim credit, abusive tax shelters, and number 12 is frivolous tax arguments. Those are the ones where people are saying, well, there's no real legitimate federal income tax, you don't have to pay it, and that sort of thing. We term that frivolous tax arguments. Those are the 12.
Stephanie, Jenny mentioned tax preparer fraud. If you're going to use a tax preparer, what are ways to make sure you're finding somebody who's reliable and trustworthy?
Right. We would recommend that you would always ask for referrals from your family members or friends, that you have a relationship and that you can definitely trust that person. It's also important to meet with them and perhaps interview your potential tax preparer to see what type of experience they have and maybe the situation that you're facing, that they have an expertise in that area.
Are there red flags you should be looking out for that indicate maybe I shouldn't hire this person?
Right. You would want to watch for people that are charging based on what your refund is going to be. That's very uncommon and not ethical. You also want to make sure that they're not suggesting or taking a deduction on your tax return that you're uncomfortable with. Those are a couple of the things that we would look for.
Mm-hmm. Sandra Guile with the Cincinnati Better Business Bureau joins us also. And hi, Sandra. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you today?
Good. Thank you. Now, Jenny brought up identity theft related to your tax returns. What are some of the common ways that con artists steal your personal information?
Unfortunately, there's a lot of information online, and it's most commonly found through phishing scams. They'll send out emails. We're just trying to confirm some information from you. All you need to do is fill out this simple form, return it to us. Hackers are getting smarter by the day, and so it seems. So a lot of times online accounts, and Stephanie's shaking her head, they'll go in and just easily snatch that information. Companies are at risk, too. A lot of companies are handling a lot of sensitive information, your Social Security number, your birth date, your address. And a lot of times it's internal employee fraud. Everybody has a cell phone these days. They can walk by your desk, take a picture of that personal information, and use it for their own financial gain, unfortunately. You can save yourself a lot of trouble in finding a reputable tax preparer just by going to BBB.org and finding an accredited CPA, attorney, tax preparer that way.
Now, phone calls is another problem, too. I mean,
oh my gosh,
these odd phone calls.
We've been inundated with the IRS phone scams. I don't have the numbers here in front of me, but I know on our scam tracker on BBB.org, where you can report these scams, I know at least probably within the last 2 weeks, we've had about 20 to 25 at least of people saying, I got this really weird phone call and it had the Washington, D.C. area code. And they said they were calling from the Federal Trade Commission or from the IRS or from the U.S. Department of Treasury and that I'm going to get sued or I'm going to get arrested if I don't pay these back taxes or these back fees. If I don't pay up right now. And the red flag with that a lot of times is the person sounds like they're of a foreign descent. They butcher your names nine ways a Sunday and they're demanding payment right here, right now using a prepaid card. Or they're threatening arrest, and they're going to send a sheriff's deputy to your house. They're going to arrest you. They're going to repossess your car. They make all kinds of threats just to scare you to get that information. It's not true, folks. And I know Jenny's going to allude to this too. They would never do that. They would send you a letter in the mail saying, we spotted a problem with your taxes. We kind of sort of need to deal with this.
And they will send you that letter, too, if they spot a problem. But it's funny, Jenny. I actually got that phone call.
Did you really?
Yeah. And then it was the gentleman claimed he was with the Treasury Department. And it was actually convincing enough that at first I did a double take. I went, did I miss something? Fortunately, you can Google anything nowadays. I went and I looked it up online and I found out it was a fake. And they even had word for word the script that this person was using. And I looked at the script. I said, that's exactly what this guy said to me. So I knew it wasn't real. IRS is not going to call you, are they?
Well, here's the important thing. The IRS won't be calling someone out of the blue to demand immediate payment and without offering you a chance to sort of review our evidence, if you will, to, you know, challenge the tax bill that we're saying you owe, and especially making threats of deportation or, you know, we're going to send the sheriff or police out to get you and that sort of thing. So, you know, there may be an instance or two out there where someone's changed their address or we've attempted to reach them by mail. That's typically how we're going to try to contact somebody about a tax bill that we believe is owed. And maybe somehow the mail got mixed up. So I'm not going to say never.
Right.
Say never. But typically, that's not how we'll do business.
The key is it's not out of the blue.
It should not be.
Usually,
out of
have
the blue.
Some kind
you
of a warning that the phone call is going to come at some point.
You should.
And usually, if you were able to look up that script, it's probably like a bank of phone callers in another country that they're making these phone calls, and what they're trying to do is just scam money out of you.
Exactly. What was funny, Sandra, is that even the name that was on the script, the name the gentleman said, "I'm so and so," was the same on the script. So. If you get that it's definitely
a
scam.
It's a huge red flag.
Why do people fall for scams like this?
It's an intimidation factor. It's a position of authority. Anytime somebody hears they're calling from your accountant's office, they're calling from the IRS, they're calling from a position in authority, we're all taught and raised that we need to respect authority. We need to respect somebody in that position. So anytime you get a phone call, a random letter, or something like that, you're going to go, oh my gosh, I did something wrong. I need to fix it right away. So they're playing on that emotion. They're hoping that you're going to fall into that and you're going to make amends right away.
Yeah, I think that's right. Often the people who we find out who are victims, and I can say this data is about a month old at this point, but nationwide, we have recorded that as TIGDAR, Treasury Department has recorded over 5,000 victims who collectively have paid the scammers over $26.5 million.
Wow.
So, you know, when the scammer finds a victim, often they're saying initially $2,000, something that sounds, and then when they know they can play this person well, gee whiz, we're also looking at 2010, and that's another $800 there, 2009. So once they find a victim, they'll try to play it for as much as they can get. So again, it's very important to know the IRS would not contact someone out of the blue demanding in a threatening way immediate payment, particularly some sort of method that you can't track or trace, that you wouldn't have a receipt of having paid this, wiring the money, money orders, that sort of thing, prepaid debit cards. Very important to know.
So after somebody's been scammed, how can a victim get his or her money or identity back? I mean, what steps can he take or she take?
Well, the IRS has a good process in place. Those who have been susceptible to identity theft can file an identity theft affidavit with IRS to report that there may be a potential misrepresentation there. They have also assigned IP PIN numbers and identity protection personal identification numbers to those people, and they have to have that six-digit number to file the return going forward. So when we electronically file tax returns, some clients are giving us, they received a letter from the IRS back at the beginning of the year. Every year that number is changing. So the clients are giving us that number, and it makes the e-filing process much smoother.
513-419-7100 if you would like to join our conversation. And Jenny, you mentioned the term phishing. Now, what exactly is phishing, and how often does a fraudster fish a victim out of information? How often does that actually happen?
Well, I can tell you it happens fairly often. It's not just an IRS thing. It's across the board. We are trying to alert, in particular, HR professionals and payroll professionals about an email phishing scam that's out there right now, which uses something called spoofing. Somehow these scammers have collected names of officials at various companies and so forth. So they send out these emails to people who are HR or payroll professionals and say, I'm so-and-so, the CEO or something of the company. I need you to send me a list of all these employees, their W-2 information. And some people, unfortunately, have fallen for it. So spoofing is when you kind of play off an official sounding name, someone who the victim may actually know, and fall for the scam that way, and provide this sensitive personal and financial information that then unfortunately may be used and may be sold on a sort of a black market for ID thieves who would collect this data and then send it out to crooks who would then use it to file bogus tax returns using the victim's identification.
This actually happened to a very high-profile company recently. It happened at Snapchat. As a matter of fact, it was reported all over the PC world, magazines and online articles that this actually happened. And they came forward and said, hey, if this can happen to us, this can happen to every small, medium-sized business, which then raises the awareness about cybersecurity in general and how businesses really have to be on the ball about who's got access to that sensitive information, because not only are the employees are at risk, but the consumers are at risk as well.
So what steps should companies be taking to improve their security surrounding this information?
They need to do an audit to see who has access to that sensitive employee information, who has access to the HR files, who has access to the consumer information that's coming in, especially if you're dealing with account information, credit card information, social security information, that kind of thing, email information. Who really needs access to that? What software protection do you have installed at your place of business, malware, software, and that kind of thing? How often do you back up all your records? Do you have a crisis plan in place to handle all that? I know we've talked with experts in the past about having those pieces in place. BBB has a program about 5 steps to better cybersecurity available, and they're more than welcome to contact us for that information.
Stephanie, what would be your advice for companies as far as protecting this information?
It's very important to make sure your employees are alert. When they get an email that looks like it's official, just double check and take an extra second to make sure it really is coming from who you believe it is coming from. Because we've seen cases, you mentioned the larger company, but a medium-sized business, you know, it can happen to anybody. And they received a very official-looking email that payment should be sent to a new bank account, but that was completely fraud, and because their employees were alert and the bank had systems in place, they were able to catch it before anything went out. So,
and the same is true for going back to the tax ID. If you're working with a preparer and they say, oh, you can make this check out to me and I'll make sure it gets into your funds, or I'll make sure it's deposited to another account for safekeeping until the check clears.
Sounds like a red flag to me.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. You know, and the person should be asking, that money should be coming to me. That's my refund.
So no preparer will do that, right?
That's correct.
If they're legit.
Yes. It's a direct deposit into your personal bank account. The preparer doesn't withhold the refund.
Yeah.
Again, 513-419-7100 to join our conversation. And Jenny, how is the IRS doing as far as fighting this fraud and this tax-related identity theft?
Well, I tell you, it is a challenge. Mm-hmm. We are making some progress. It certainly has been a bit of an uphill battle, but we are making progress. I have some stats I can throw your way just to kind of illustrate how much of a battle this is that we're facing right now. Just 11 months in 2015, we were able to suspend or reject processing of 4.8 million suspicious tax returns.
That many?
Yeah. Yep, for sure. And another 1.4 million confirmed stolen identity tax returns we stopped during that same 11-month period. Now, keep in mind that those stolen ID refund fraud returns that we stopped, they totaled $8 billion that fraudsters were, you know, trying to claim. And that's just the stolen identity refund fraud part of it. I mentioned at the start of the program there are other types of tax fraud, too. So identity theft isn't the only thing we have to worry about. During that same time frame, we also stopped an additional $2.9 billion that were requested in fraudulent refunds for other types of tax fraud. So it really is it's a major battle for the IRS, not just the IRS, for other companies, financial institutions, and so forth. But certainly, I can say for us, it's definitely been a challenge.
How do you know you've been a victim of identity fraud, identity theft, when it comes to filing your tax return? I mean, that's not something you find out right away, is it?
Well, sometimes, unfortunately, the IRS is the unwelcome sort of notifier of this bad information, because someone may have filed their tax return, hit that send button on e-file or whatever, and then they get a notification back. Sorry, we have already received a return using your name and your information and so forth. So that may be the first notice that the legitimate taxpayer is a victim of an identity theft for taxes.
Stephanie, I think you touched on some of the steps earlier, but if that happens to you, what should you do if you find out that somebody has filed a fraudulent return under your Social Security number?
Well, you won't be able to e-file for this tax year, so there is procedures in place that you will paper file a tax return. And then, like I mentioned, there's the IPIN that the IRS will assign to you going forward, so that each year that number changes, and it's to help protect your identity going forward, and to make the filing process smoother in subsequent years.
Now, they can also use is it identitytheft.gov, if I'm remembering correctly?
Well, we do have a special section on the IRS website with a fair amount of information that's particularly geared toward identity theft victims. Mm-hmm. What they should do, for example, even if you haven't been notified that you're a victim of identity theft, some things that we recommend are installing a firewall on your personal computer, making sure your antivirus software is always up to date and always on, encrypt information that you would have on your personal, just the same stuff that was mentioned about, you know, companies and so forth. Same thing, you should be trying to make yourself as much of a hard target at home as the businesses that you work with should be, you know, doing for you.
And on the consumer side, too, I think I heard you saying is that there's still a lot of paper out there. People collect stuff. And they've got credit card numbers, they've got account numbers and stuff like that. And we're going to be offering a secure ID day on April 9th, the Better Business Bureau is, over in UC Blue Ash at 9555 Plainfield Road from 8 a.m. until 11 a.m. Bring up to 5 boxes of stuff that you don't want anymore. There's certain things that you need to hang on to, and I'm say this in front of you, Jenny, that as far as taxes and stuff like that, that you still need to hang on to. We do have a guide on our website of what to keep, what to pitch, what to shred, and we'll happily shred all the stuff for free. And it's not just Hamilton County. It is the entire Cincinnati, Northern Kentucky area and a sliver of Indiana.
Shredding's a good idea.
Shredding is an awesome idea.
Stephanie, just in general, how long should you keep your old tax documents?
We recommend 7 years that you keep those records.
Okay, so anything that's more than 7 years, then typically right. You don't need to. You can just shred it, and it's no longer an identity theft risk. So, Jenny, as far as what the IRS is doing to fight this problem, you said earlier that this is something that's been going on for a long, long time. Is it growing, or is it staying about the same as far as you can see?
Mm-hmm. It's kind of hard to say at this point. I think the efforts we've recently joined in something called the Taxes Security Together campaign. It's a collaborative effort with tax industry leaders. That is a lot of the tax preparation companies, a lot of the tax software companies, and a lot of the officials at the State Department of Revenue, state taxation offices have joined with the IRS to sort of have this concerted collaborative effort to try to basically, you know, stem the tide on identity theft. So we'll see. We'll see at the end of this tax season how things are going, how productive that effort is. But I don't think it can be hurting. So definitely
a team approach can never hurt on something like this.
Exactly. Team approach, because there are so many moving parts, moving pieces here, and you know, everyone working together collectively. I think it's got to help.
So Stephanie, if you would, Jenny touched on some of these earlier. Just give us a basic rundown. How do you protect yourself? What do you do?
Most important, use common sense. Be aware when somebody calls demanding payment. You're not going to get a phone call from the IRS or an email directly from the IRS that's unsolicited. If it's out of the blue, it's unusual. Don't fall for those phishing tricks that these fraudsters are imposing. You know, don't share a lot of your personal information on social media. They can get information about you from those sites, and then they seem, you know, to know more about you when they're trying to perpetrate the fraud. You know, check your credit reports annually. Watch your bank statements and your credit card statements. Check your...
Question anything that looks fishy, right?
Absolutely, yes.
Is filing electronically safer than sending through the mail, or is there any...
We would highly recommend filing electronically. It's a lot
okay,
safer.
Okay, is the lot safer
yes.
method.
Yeah.
And Sandra, what does the BBB do to help in terms of scams, when it comes to scams like this?
We try to inform and educate the public and businesses as well. We've got a great tool called BBB Scam Tracker. I know Jenny loves it. She likes to refer to
great.
It.
It's got local stats.
Yes. if something comes across, you get one of those IRS phone calls, U.S. Department of Treasury phone calls, or anything like that, report it to Scam Tracker. We offer free sessions, seminars, and community outreach programs on scams and ID theft. And we try to tell people what they do and just reinforce what Stephanie said as well. Just back your stuff up. Make sure your cell phones and tablets, smart TVs, and everything else have the most updated software on it so nobody can get into your passwords and your information.
Well, thanks for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Internal Revenue Service spokesperson for Ohio, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia, Jennifer Jenkins, Bramble and Ackley PSC certified public accountant Stephanie Hune, and Cincinnati Better Business Bureau public relations specialist Sandra Guile.